The depression refused to go away. And this frustrated President Roosevelt as much as it did any citizen. Now he found Congress and the courts moving either too slowly in the right direction or too rapidly in the wrong one. He went on the attack against the haves in what was still an uncomfortably have-not society. Before a partisan audience on October 31, 1936, he contrasts the do-nothing record of the government in the 12 years preceding his administration with a catalog of his own programs to save the farms, forests, economy, and human resources of the nation.
For 12 years, our nation was afflicted with hear-nothing, see-nothing, do-nothing government. The nation looked to that government, but that government looked away. 9 mocking years with the golden calf and 3 long years of the scourge. 9 crazy years at the ticker and 3 long years in the breadline. 9 mad years of mirage and 3 long years of despair. For nearly 4 years now, you have had an administration which, instead of flailing its thumbs, has rolled up its sleeves. Government by organized money is just as dangerous as government by organized mob. They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred. I should like to have it said of my first administration that in it the forces of selfishness and of lust for power met their match. I should like to have it said, wait a minute, I should like to have it said of my second administration that in it these forces met their master. Of course we will continue to seek to improve working conditions for the workers of America. To reduce hours that are overlong. To increase wages that spell starvation. To end the labor of children and to wipe out sweatshops. Of course, we will continue every effort to support collective bargaining. To stop unfair competition and to abolish dishonorable trade practices. And for all these, we have only just begun to fight. Of course, we will continue to work for cheaper electricity in the homes and on the farms of America. For better and cheaper transportation, for low interest rates, for sounder home financing, for better banking, for the regulation of security issues, for reciprocal trade among nations. And for the wiping out of slums. And my friends, for all of these, we have only just begun to fight. Of course, we will continue our efforts in behalf of the farmers of America. With their continued cooperation, we will do all in our power to end up the pile, to end the piling up of huge surpluses which spell ruinous prices to their crops. We will persist in successful action for better land use, for reforestation, for the conservation of water all the way from its source to the sea, for drought control and flood control, for better marketing facilities for farm commodities, for a reduction of farm tenancy, for encouragement of farm cooperatives, for crop insurance, and for a stable food supply for the nation. And for all these goals, we have only just begun to fight. Of course, we will provide useful work for the needy unemployed, because we prefer useful work to the pauperism of the dole. Of course, we will continue our effort for young men and women so that they may obtain an education and an opportunity to put it to use. Of course, we will continue our help for the crippled, for the blind, for the mothers, our insurance for the unemployed, our security for the aged. Of course, we will continue to protect the consumer against unnecessary price spread, against the costs that are added by monopoly and speculation. We will continue our successful effort to increase his purchasing power and keep it constant. And for these things too, and for a multitude of things like them, we have only just begun to fight. Objectives spell peace at home. That is why the recovery we seek, the recovery we are winning, is more than economic. In it are included justice and love and humility, not for ourselves as individuals alone, but for our nation. And that is the road to peace.